This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Eric Strucco is a member of the Albemarle County School Board, and he joins me live in studio. How's your summer going? It's good to see you.
It's going well. Yeah. Very warm.
Yeah. Are y'all getting out of town at all? You going to the beach or grandma's or what do you do?
Every year the first part of summer is dominated by Little League Baseball. So yes, we get out of town. So we spend weekends in Storch Draft. We spend weekends in other parts of Augusta County.
You've been playing baseball.
We go right for weekend baseball tournaments. So it's not a summer unless you're sweating with a lot of dust in the air and the smell of fried foods coming from the concession stand.
And you're sitting on some bleachers and yeah.
The uneven bleachers, right. The fractured wood, right.
Yeah. So who plays? Your son plays? Right?
My son. Yeah. He is a member of the 12-year-old Peachtree team. They're in the Cal Ripken League. And in fact, I'll give them a plug if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah.
They came in runners-up in their district tournament, and so they are in the state tournament in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, which
Great. Is
a stone's throw from Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yeah, way down there.
Yeah, so we depart on Thursday morning to head down to Big Stone Gap, and we'll be playing in the state tournament against teams from Williamsburg and Glen Allen, the Richmond suburbs, and Arlington.
I hadn't heard about this. So a little league team here from Central Virginia is in this big state tournament.
In the state. And
they've
gone to state tournaments now 4 years running. So this is a team from the Crozet area.
That's fantastic.
These relatively small town kids have been playing together now for 4 years, most of them. And they've really developed, and they're quite a competitive team. So coming from small Crozet to put together a team that can compete with kids from Richmond and from Northern Virginia, they have a larger pool of talent to draw from is really something. So we're quite proud of them,
and we're looking forward to it. Well, look what the girls lacrosse did from Western. You know,
right.
they won the state, didn't they? I mean, that's whatever they won.
It was quite an impressive run. I know their coach personally, Nancy Hawes, who did a phenomenal job. Her daughter plays on that team, as does Brian Wheeler's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been together for that 4 year stretch, and what a way to culminate an athletic career at the high school level with the state championship. And the young ladies really did extremely well.
I mean, it's really exciting to see a lot of kids coming out of here from Central Virginia who not only are really excelling statewide in athletics, but they have the opportunity to do so. Whether it's through the school or a local league or something that provides those opportunities where they can really excel, and that's exciting that we're seeing that.
As I said, the demographic here in Albemarle and Charlottesville is we have about 120,000 people. We really don't have a vast population. It's just a testament to the talent of our coaches and our student athletes that they are competing at a state and, at some instances, a national level.
Yeah, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. We are talking with Eric Strucco, a member of the Albemarle County School Board, and we're honored to have him here in studio. The phone lines are open, of course, at 977-1070. Where should we begin? Last night was a big meeting that got some attention, right? Something about dugouts at the school. What is this all about?
Speaking of Little League, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, there is a foundation. We had a young member of our community die suddenly, and their parents created a foundation to honor, memorialize this young man who was an avid Little League player. And so they felt the way to memorialize his life, it was to create a ball field at Woodbrook Elementary School. And they raised a lot of money, and they refurbished the field. They replaced the backstop, and they wanted to put dugouts in the field. So they wanted to put a facility in there that had all the amenities. And some of the neighbors objected to the dugout. For a variety of reasons. The claims were that it can attract crime, graffiti. It was unsightly. And so another group of neighbors in that neighborhood came out in favor of the dugouts, and they listed their reasons for support. And so over the last several months, the two groups have been going back and forth, and the foundation really, in my personal opinion, made a lot of nice concessions to the neighbors that were immediately opposed to having the dugouts there. But some just simply weren't satisfied, and it came down to a vote of the school board last night, and we voted in favor of the dugouts. They redesigned them. They made them durable, easily maintained materials. It's sort of a stone face material. They opened the back of the dugout, so it looks like a window that goes the length of the structure and on each side. So it won't be a place for people to hide, you know.
Yeah,
they made it open and visible. And like I said, I think that my view that that it was suitable. Plus, I just think it's a great addition to Woodbrook Elementary. Not only are they going to put a ball field there, but one that's very, very nice.
Yeah, going to be first class, right?
Right. And so,
some people don't like change.
Well, that's true.
I mean, is that really what, am I being simplistic here? Is that what it gets down to? That just some people and neighborhoods in particular, when they come together, sometimes they just want to keep things like they are.
Woodbrook is an older neighborhood in our community, very well established. The people that live there for the most part have been here, a number of years. And I think they appreciate their stability, and they have simply high standards. They really do. Development happens near them or in and around them, they really take an intense interest. And I think that's what we saw, last night and with this issue in particular.
Yeah. And you got to hand it to them that they're being heard and they speak out. I mean, you got a lot of neighborhoods where people don't even know what's going on. You know, whether they don't know what's on the agenda at the school board or the board of supervisors.
I mean, who would have thought dugouts, would have generated, a pretty large crowd and media coverage last night at the school board meeting, something that eclipsed the budget discussions for at least a period of time and Little League dugouts.
Well, I mean, I spent some time in some dugouts when I was a kid, and I never really thought that was I never think of it as a negative thing. I don't know why somebody would be behooved to say, oh my God, no, we don't want dugouts in our neighborhood, but, I guess some people were.
Like I said, I think people sincerely felt that, it would attract, graffiti, vandalism, and other levels of, criminal or offensive behavior.
But they're approved.
Yes, they are approved.
Yeah, and they're going to look really nice. The people who were against them will see them one day and say, oh, I'm glad they did that.
Right. I hope that, you know, people can come around and say, while our concerns we felt at the time were legitimate, they may have been unfounded in this case.
We're talking with Eric Strucco, a member of the Albemarle County School Board, on this beautiful Friday afternoon at 21 minutes after 4 o'clock. And Susan is with us on the program in Albemarle County. Susan, welcome to the show. You go right ahead.
Hey, I have to weigh in because you are being somewhat simplistic. The reason that a lot of people were against the dugouts isn't just because we didn't like change. It's because Woodbrook School is the only county school completely surrounded by homes, and those dugouts are literally going to be in some people's backyards, which may make it hard for them to sell later, that kind of thing. There was the issue of perhaps people being able to use those as more hiding places, because we've had quite a crime uptick between the dugouts and the trees that are surrounding it. There was some objection to the fact that, yes, the foundation is paying for the initial cost, but any upkeep is going to be for the school to pay for, which the school is always complaining they have no money, and it's primarily for non-school use during a short period of time, because you only play 3 months of the year for a small percentage of people. So that's another issue. And one big issue I had that didn't get brought out, that was supposed to be brought out last night, is the PTO and the school principal improperly used the Woodbrook School email to send out notices about the meeting. And it wasn't just come express your opinion in the meeting. It was essentially come vote this way and fight the neighborhood, is what it essentially was. So there was an objection to that. We had very little notice about the meeting, which is one reason that was supposed to be brought up, because it wasn't quite fair. So that's just something I think needs to be brought out.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate the clarification, Susan. So you were opposed to it?
Yes, I was at all the meetings, and nobody was opposed to improvements to the field or to potentially some sort of dugout, but there were so many questions, because they went from saying it was for only T-ball kids, you know, the young kids, and then then they were saying only for practices, and then they started saying no, it was for games, for t-ball, and then they said no, now we can have this next age level up. And the other thing is soccer is a far more popular sport, and if you are taking up the field with t-ball, the county's own statistics show that soccer is like 2-1 a more popular sport, so you're going to be knocking a lot of that out. So there's a lot more to it than the fact that people just didn't like change, and I hate to see our neighborhood characterized that way, because we were pretty thoughtful and factual in our comments.
Yeah, so. And I apologize if I was being simplistic, because I wasn't following the story too closely, and
right.
I appreciate
that. Nobody was, but that's one reason I wanted to just sort of put the other side in, because there was a lot more to it than that, and we're not mean people, I promise.
No, so Susan, now that, and we'll give Eric a chance here to respond, but now that it has been approved and the vote was 4-1, as I understand it, are you hopeful that what will happen will be something everybody can live with?
Yeah, real hopeful, because we, you know, you don't want to see something that's going to do any harm to the neighborhood or to property values or whatnot, but the fact that it is a small neighborhood with only one way in and one way out, and we already have problems with people parking in the grass and trash and so forth and so on, it's just, you know, we're understandably a little leery of that, I think. So just to throw in the other side so you kind of see where we're coming from.
Susan, thank you very much, and I appreciate the call. Let's give Eric Strucco a chance to just respond to some of those thoughts. Eric?
Yeah, well, you know, Susan did a good job of summarizing and representing what some of the arguments were that we heard last night, no question about it. You know, she mentioned the notion of some of the dugouts will be close to other property owners. What was compelling to me was the cul-de-sac that is behind where the dugouts are contains six homes. Five of the six property owners came out in support of the dugouts. And so to me, that addressed that issue. With regards to crime, I mean, that's a hard one to say. You don't build a dugout to avoid crime. You know, you don't build a house to avoid crime.
Right.
I just think it's an amenity that is pretty much an important part of the baseball experience. Regarding cost, what was compelling to me was that the foundation said that they were building the dugouts the way they were because they were going to be durable, low-maintenance facilities. And so durable and low-maintenance means minimal cost. So I thought that addressed the cost issue. With regards to soccer, well, the soccer organization uses the same field for soccer games, and so this field serves both purposes. It can serve as a baseball field during baseball season, and it can double as a soccer field. The outfield area of the ball field serves as a soccer area. Now, with regards to the email, I have to admit, I don't know anything about that issue. I didn't hear, I heard a little bit about it last night, but not a lot of detail. The accusation that the PTO and the principal used a school email, a distribution list inappropriately. I can't comment on that, but if indeed there was some inappropriate use of that information, I think the school board should know it.
Yeah. And that, I guess, with everybody on email now, that's sort of easy to do, I would think. I guess you got to really be careful not to do that if you're not supposed to, but because it's so easy just to, you know, go to a listserv and say, hey, everybody, wanted to let you know something that's going on, and we could use your support.
I'd say there was a lot of communication about this. My own inbox was inundated, and I haven't sat down and counted all of them, but several emails, and they were, in my mind, fairly evenly divided, some for, some against. Some of the fours were people that did not live in Woodbrook, and I tried to make a distinction when I read through the notes and tried to, you know, formulate where the community sits. So I was able to do that. But the school board, you know, got a lot of information about this. I actually went out on the Woodbrook Neighborhood Association blog, was looking at information there. So I don't feel like I made a rapid decision without being somewhat knowledgeable on the subject.
Yeah, and it was a 4-1 vote last night.
Is that 5-1?
5-1, yeah.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.